WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's your privacy versus corporate free speech on Facebook. You know, Facebook wasn't designed for meeting new people as a social networking site, but for growing and cultivating the communities you already know. And as the site has expanded, users have had access to more and more information on what other users are doing, thinking, and participating in. If you haven't been on Facebook, see if you can go to somebody's Facebook page, and you will be surprised by how much information there is about other people on that page, from political information to quirky messages scrawled on digital walls. There's a lot there to see. But more information isn't always better, as evidenced by the concern raised by many Facebook users over the new so-called beacon system, advertising that lets other Facebook users see what you have purchased from certain websites. So we're joined now by Sri Srinivasan, Dean of Students and Professor at the Columbia School of Journalism, the Graduate School of Journalism there, and a tech reporter for Channel 4 to talk about Facebook and its newest privacy issue. And we've been collecting comments on our Brian Lehrer Facebook profile, which we'll read some in a minute. And we open up the phones on this. Facebook users, have you run into this? Anyone else, what do you think about this? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Sri, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Great to be here.
Did I describe what they're doing fairly well, or you want to go into it in a little more detail?
I think you did. The idea is, for especially for those who are not familiar with Facebook, they may not quite understand what the fuss is about, but Facebook is such an interesting phenomenon. I think just the way that people are using it to tell their stories and what's going on, and this new aspect where you can kind of learn what other people are buying, shopping, looking at, et cetera, is something that is causing some amount of consternation, but not as much as perhaps people might expect.
Not as much consternation as people might expect?
Yeah, well, in the sense that the press has focused in on this, and there was a lot of response last week. But since then, it isn't, people are still continuing to use it. There isn't a boycott or anything else because Facebook is so powerful, right, and so compelling for so many people.
And they did dial this back a little bit so that you can opt out, but you have to opt out in each instance. Explain how that works.
Well, what this is that you are now, let's say you're going to be shopping on, you're going to be buying something at a store that is participating in what's called this beacon program. Then you can go on and it will alert you that the message is going to be sent to Facebook, and therefore everyone who logs in, who's a friend of yours, will be told that you have just bought this product or bought a ticket or whatever that is. And that, of course, is kind of scary because you may not really want people to know. One of my friends told me that she was buying a particular kind of vitamin that is known for its properties in dealing with a certain disease. Mm. And if she happened to buy it for not that reason or for that reason, would she want everyone to know that she bought it? Because then it'll raise questions. Well, does she have the disease, or
so
what's going on?
So how does Facebook know? Does it search the web for anything that has your name attached to it that's an online purchase, or do they have accounts with certain vendors? How does that work?
They have partnerships that are making this possible. So
Amazon is one of them.
Yeah,
so if you buy something, anything on Amazon, a piece of apparel, people can buy underwear on Amazon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or a book that might relate to a very private concern that you're having.
Yeah.
Automatically, that would go to all your friends on Facebook, because Amazon has paid Facebook for that right, unless you happen to see the opt-out message and choose it. Is that correct?
Right. Well, it depends on exactly how this has worked. You know, I haven't yet actually seen this part of it happening yet, but they're saying that it's going to be opt-out rather than an opt-in model. People will have to make a choice whether they want to participate or not, which is a good thing, because that's what they dialed back on Thursday, and that makes a big, big difference. But I should also point out that people on Facebook do share a lot of private things and things about their lives
when they choose to, not when some company chooses.
That's true. But for a lot of folks who are maybe a little older, including people who didn't grow up using this kind of instant messaging and email, you'd be surprised how much information is shared willingly online, including photographs from parties and things that.
Right.
And I'm always telling younger folks that please be careful, because anything you put online lives on for a long, long time afterwards.
I gather a couple of the flashpoints on this that brought it to public view were Fandango rental, so people could see what movies you were getting. And also, probably the biggest story that got the headlines was a man who wanted to buy a ring for his wife as a surprise.
And it was no longer a surprise.
So it was just that it was going to blow the surprise to his wife? I mean, that's hardly a universal, earth-shaking public policy issue.
But it is something so personal, and the users of Facebook have really taken to it as something that they trust and love. And so any time when they try to change things, people get upset, but the company's also trying to make money.
So, again, we'll go to the phones on this in just a minute if anybody has a thought. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 on this new wrinkle between privacy and corporate free speech online. And my guest, Sri Srinivasan, Channel 4's tech reporter. He's also dean of students and professor of journalism at the Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism. So we checked our Facebook page, and I think that what you said kind of bears out from the people who've chosen to post so far, which is that, maybe people in the media are more concerned, maybe privacy advocates are more concerned than a lot of average Facebook users, because there's, I would say, at best, ambivalence about this being expressed. Let me read some of those comments that our friends posted. So one of them is, I'm willing to give up as much privacy as my inputs on Facebook determine. I won't have material here that I don't want to share, and I think that people should be judicious in their disclosures. This is a commercial platform, not a confessional. So, that's a nuanced answer. That's not exactly, don't you dare do this to me. Another one, I'm willing to give up quite a bit of privacy. I just want to be able to decide how much and when. So they're kind of embracing the model that Facebook has put out. Users are willing to give up quite a bit. People twittering, seismic blogs, of privacy they just don't like it when they feel they've given up information without them knowing, as the case of Facebook Beacon. So even that, she doesn't like the way this Facebook Beacon advertising system is used, but says users are willing to give up quite a bit of privacy. And so, maybe there's something there. Maybe it's a generational thing. I don't know.
And I also see that people are constantly saying to me that they will give up their some elements of privacy for the convenience or the ability to reach a lot of people, but they want to control how much of that convenience they give up, and the companies may not be on the same page.
And by the way, for those curious how we got those comments, we used the My Questions tool on Facebook and posted that question. Brian in East Hanover, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brian.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment, actually, going off of something your commentator just said about how we trust and love Facebook, and I loved it at the beginning because it was a very simple, sort of classy alternative to MySpace. You could only get on it if you had a .edu address. The look was very clean and simple. It didn't do much, but what it did was very good in connecting you with alumni and classmates. And I think really the floodgates opened it to non.edu addresses. And then very shortly thereafter, they added all this nonsense with applications, with, now these commercial tie-ins. And it's just became the same sort of bloated nonsense that exists on MySpace. So I personally have almost completely stopped using Facebook as a consequence.
Have you found another alternative? Brian, have you found another?
No, I haven't. Actually, I just sort of do without. And it's very disappointing.
Sri?
Yeah, I hear a lot of people make the same comments about how much more complicated Facebook has become. But you can ignore most of those complications if you don't want to deal with those. I'd also suggest that people may want to take a look at a site called LinkedIn.com, which I used to call MySpace for adults, but that sounded like something else, so I call it MySpace for professionals. There's a lot of chatter today that might be a site that we bought for a lot of money by Rupert Murdoch. But the point
and
is,
Rupert
that
Murdoch already owns MySpace. Who owns Facebook?
Facebook is a private company that just had a stake bought by Microsoft that values it at $15 billion. I mean, this is a company, it's run by a 24-year-old and his team. So it's all paper money, obviously, but it is certainly very, very popular at this moment.
Here's a parent's point of view. Bruce in Manhattan. Hi, Bruce. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Mm-hmm.
I think in our society, a lot of times we want something for nothing, and it's a bad deal because, we end up getting, something that we didn't really expect, whether it's with TV and advertising that trying to tell us to eat, or live unhealthy lives, or we buy into a media or an internet site that's going to give us free services. And what it's doing to our children is it's disempowering them, and it's really scary.
You think, Sri, or is that just kind of a generational out-of-touch blanket statement?
Well, parents have to worry about this stuff, and I think that it is true that people are not expecting to pay for any of the things that they're using online. And we've seen, for example, with Gmail and the success of free web-based email, that companies are, the people are willing to give up some amount of privacy in the sense that you see ads tailored to what's written in your email, but you get all this free space on the internet for your email. So this is something that people will always choose, I think, the convenience over privacy for the most part, not everybody.
Here's the first post on our comments page, and there are a few, but the very first one, I wonder if it contains a factual error that people should be alerted to. This says, actually, after a lot of press coverage and a petition on MoveOn.org, Facebook has agreed to change their policy. They say in the future, users will have to specifically opt in to share your shopping lists. I, for one, use Facebook and do all my shopping online, and none of my shopping lists have ever appeared on their site, so I don't know how this happened. Is it accurate to say that in the future, users will have to specifically opt in to share your shopping lists, or do they have to specifically opt out?
Well, what they're saying, that Facebook is saying, that they will allow people to opt in to make this work. And that's what
So it is opt-in. So they'll be saying, this particular book you bought on Amazon, would you like to share this with your friends?
Friends and not so close friends, would you like to tell them? But here's the other part of this that I think a lot of people online.
So is it as alarming if it's put that way?
Well, it's still alarming because you may not know what you're opting into. And that's what would cause some confusion. But as I was also saying, that people who are on Facebook want to get advice and tips from their friends. And so if my friend is watching a movie and wants to recommend it to me, I would be more interested in that perhaps than a movie that a television critic or a movie critic is recommending on TV.
And another slightly snarky post says, I'd withdraw from Facebook entirely if it weren't so necessary to finding keg parties on campus, which makes it sound like just a joke. But then this person writes, but after hearing about this issue, I'm taking everything off my Facebook except my membership. Does Facebook have a competitor where its customers can go? Does it?
There are nothing as good as Facebook. There are other things like Friendster and others. If you're doing only professional-related stuff, work-related stuff, there's LinkedIn, but you'll see that it's not as compelling a place as Facebook.
When you say good and compelling, what does that mean?
Well, what I mean is that on Facebook, you could go in for 2 minutes and come out an hour later having spend a lot of time connecting with friends, seeing what they're doing, looking at photographs. So good is also in the sense of, well, is that good for productivity? Probably not. But it is some place where you want to hang out. And what Facebook is doing is it's not competing with Friendster or LinkedIn. It's competing with the internet. They're saying, come spend all your time on our site. You don't need to go elsewhere, or you don't have to go elsewhere as much. And that's why you're seeing big media companies, including the New York Times and others, creating applications or apps on Facebook to have content there. It's sort of like 1996, 97. It's not enough just to say that you have a simple web page. You've got to be on the web, and same way you've got to now be on Facebook. For now, that might change if something else comes along that's better.
Mike in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I think it's a very good point mentioned that people do want to share stuff, but only what they want to share, not what some company wants them to share. And two things. When a friend buys something on a site that's connected and does opt in, that information goes back to the news feed on Facebook, and I'll see that when my friend bought something on my news feed with an accompanying ad. And there's no way for me to opt out of seeing that ad on my news feed. That's one issue. Another is that somebody did research, and Facebook sends in, I'm sorry, the site sends back to Facebook information on what you bought, even if you opt out. So Facebook adds that to their marketing database, even if you've opted out.
Uh-huh. So even if you don't wind up sharing it with other people in that sense, they're going to advertise to you via Facebook based on your purchase on Amazon or Fandango or something.
That's correct. And there's research showing this.
Yeah.
I don't know the site offhand.
Right. Of course, Google does that anyway. Gmail does that anyway. And in a way, Sri, in our last minute, that's the larger question about the nature of corporate free speech and what the environment of being online, which used to once be this, you know, wild west of raw, unfiltered information, is becoming.
Absolutely, and we're seeing that this situation is going to get only worse, in the sense that companies are going to find ways in which they can monetize all the information that they have about their viewers and users, because that's what advertisers and other people want. So there's going to be this constant friction between the two groups, and let's see how that plays out.
We will see how that plays out. And by the way, if you want to become my friend, there is Brian Lehrer Facebook profile. And this conversation is going on among that group, as well as on our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And I want to thank Sri Srinivasan, Dean of Students and Professor at the Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism, also a tech reporter for WNBC TV Channel 4. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.